Magical Mara Designs is proud to sponsor this episode of the Dub D Dub Review podcast. Whether you are looking for cute, comfortable mini ears or Disney-inspired face masks, we've got you covered at MagicalMaraDesigns.com.
Hello, welcome to the Dub D Dub Review. I'm your host, Chris Malik, and I'm joined by my co-host, Michael Black. Michael, buddy, how are you?
Fantastic.
Okay. Michael, we've got a guest co-host today, and it's actually a show it's one of the most excited I've been to have a show for a long time, because it's kind of like visiting, like, family that you haven't seen for a long time. So, without any further delay here, Tim Scott from the Resort Loop Podcast. Tim, how are you, buddy?
Oh, Chris, I'm doing fantastic. Michael, good to talk to you also, as always.
I am so excited all day long. I was just on the edge of my seat.
See that? Aww. So let's just get this out in the open right now. So this is Tim from the Resort Loop Podcast, who has been on the air for how many episodes you got out now, Tim?
780 something, I believe.
Let's say 800, give or take. We're going to round you up to 800.
Round me up.
And Tim is just a legend in the Disney podcast game. So he started off years ago with Bob Collar in the Resort Loop podcast.
I'm Tim Scott.
I said Tim's a legend in the game with Bob Collar.
I wasn't sure you'd have the right Tim. Okay, cool.
Come on. Now, you think I got this wrong already?
No.
And this show was the first Disney podcast that I ever listened to that really hooked me into what a Disney podcast is. And I don't know if it's the sound of their voices or the chemistry they had, but you guys just reshaped everything I thought like what entertainment could be. And so I am completely ecstatic to finally have you on the air. And we've talked off the air. I've been on the Resort Loop show. We've been on the DVC roundtables.
Yes.
But I really owe you a debt of thanks. And this is the honest to God truth, because some of my greatest friends in my life, some of my closest friends, people I call family, they were like me. They started off listening to the Resort Loop podcast, and we're going to claim ourselves like Resort Loop originals, like version one. And these
the
are
OGs.
Right. The OGs.
Yeah. You earned that. Absolutely.
Right. So like Peter and Michael are the co-hosts, and I love these guys like brothers. Christina Black, Tamara Spidell is like a sister to me. Lisa Yost, JJP, Greg Nevis, Monica, Scott Gerke. These people are all like just right there for us. And honestly, we're OG Resort Loop people. So we're proud of it. So I want to thank you for that.
Oh, you're so kind. I know when, we started the show. Bob started the show with me. That we were amazed at how many just nice people we met that we probably wouldn't have met otherwise. And we consider them friends as well.
That is the absolute truth. We start this off and we sit in our basements or our recording studio here, and we're like, oh yeah, let's just see if anyone listens. And before you know it, the people that listen and occasionally talk to you, they become like family. They're texting and direct messaging, and you're like, what would I do without these people in my life? No, I don't even know if I could stop at this point, because I just love communicating with these people. And I feel like if I stop, maybe they won't chat anymore. So yeah, I completely get it. It's infectious for sure.
And like you, Chris, I'm sure you probably realize over, especially the past year, that the additional friendship and connections that we have with people when we're not necessarily close to people in our local community. These friends, on the podcast, on the internet, around the world, just, bring us some joy.
You're exactly right. And it's these, like, long-distance friendships and relationships. It's like the rest of the world finally figured out, well, we knew a heck of a lot longer than they did. They were like, wait a minute, we could do that too. So, yeah, exactly. So,
right. And I don't want to talk world news. I want to talk Disney news with people.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, we're tired of dealing with world news. We're tired of dealing, right? When we come home, let's decompress a little bit.
Absolutely.
So
I have to tell you. Oh, I was just going to say. I wanted to say something real quick. I was going to say this to Tim, because I don't know if he knows this. I think I've shared it before, but I remember very vividly starting listening to the Resort Loop podcast. And I remember I was sitting in my old car at Sasakula Floatworks, like outside of French Quarter. I remember I was on my breaks from, you know, working at mm-hmm. Disney, and I would sit and listen to the show every single lunch. Like that was my, that's what I would listen to. And I just got such a kick out of hearing my name whenever you guys, mm-hmm. you know, would mention people. And I thought, these guys are saying my name. This is incredible. So I just vividly remember that. And to be honest, before we get much further, I do want to thank you and thank Bob, because honestly, you guys have taught me what it is like to be a podcaster, in the sense that I remember one time I was having an issue and I messaged Bob and asked if I could talk to him, and he called immediately. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's so different from what I thought when it came to Disney podcasts or any podcasts at all. And it kind of is to the point where we are now, to where the listeners are our friends and friends are our listeners, and there's really not much of a distinguishing factor there. So I just wanted to thank you for that.
Great. Oh, well, Michael, I'll be honest. When we knew that you were listening and you worked at Disney, we're thinking, this is the greatest thing ever. We know somebody actually works at Disney that listens to the show. Because when you're doing a show like this, sometimes you picture all the other listeners listen to the podcast, mm-hmm. you know, like you, like driving in the car to work. But there are people that, you know, like you, they're, you know, on a break at work. You're at Disney World. That's fantastic.
Tim, do you remember the Michael episode? It was so many, many episodes ago, but Bob kept on making a mistake over and over and over again, and he couldn't correct it. It wasn't until the next show that he actually realized what his mistake was. Do you remember this at all?
It vaguely rings a bell, but no, he made lots of mistakes.
Okay, so this, I kept on laughing. So he's got Michael, who's making beignets.
Yes.
But Bob keeps on calling it baguettes, and he used the word baguettes maybe 15 times in the episode to describe what Michael was doing. And mm-hmm. like he just, it was in his mind. He couldn't stop. It was baguettes. That's all it was. So
what is this? Was it a solo show, or did I let him go?
I think you guys were both there together, but
maybe, yeah, you were both there. You let him.
Yeah, sometimes I just let it go.
Just let it go. Not worth
for
it.
For an 8-minute value. Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll start us off here. So okay. if you're listening, If you listen to our show and you've never tuned in to the Resort Loop podcast, so tell us, like, when you started, why you started, and frankly, what your intentions were when you started off the show.
My intentions were just to have some fun with Bob.
Okay.
I'll be honest. Yeah, no, I listened to Disney podcasting kind of from the get-go. I remember I was on my computer. I was actually looking for Disney entrance music radio. You know, when you were driving to the park and they had those entrance radio on the AM station? Mm-hmm. I didn't find that, but I came across, I believe it was Inside the Magic.
Okay.
Yeah, the original Inside the Magic. Mm-hmm. It was like on single-digit episode. I want to say it was like 7 or 8.
Wow.
And I'm like, oh, this is very good. This is better than listening to the crazy people talking in the middle of the night on AM radio.
Yeah, exactly.
On my way into work.
Exactly.
So, you know, and then that kind of grew, you know, listening to that. And then, you know, oh, sorry, Bob, a good friend, you know, great friend of mine. We worked together, just as big a Disney fan. We just have long conversations almost all day long, joking about Disney, talking about Disney, bring up things we've heard. And then one day I'm like, we got to do a show. We got to do a podcast. He's like, what's a podcast? And I started burning CDs of podcasts that I would listen to, because I didn't have an iPod back in the day or any kind of MP3 player. So I just burned them onto CD-ROMs, listen to the car, hand them off to him. So eventually I got him into it. We started, it took us, maybe about 4, 5, 6 months or something from the time we kind of thought we would do it to actually launch it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it.
And what knowledge did you have of, like, creating a podcast? Did you literally pick up everything from scratch?
I will tell you, in college, I studied audio production.
Okay.
And I actually had this mic right here. I actually bought out of college in case I was going to do a field recording.
Okay.
So I'm using like a 20, oh good Lord, no, 1990, oh good Lord, 30-year-old Shure SM58 microphone.
Michael, they covered Watergate with that microphone, just so you know. I'm just, right? Right?
It's got the smell of liquor and cigar smoke.
Tears.
But it was in a drawer. I didn't really use it probably until the podcast, because I actually went to a different field.
Okay.
Than radio. It's a whole different thing.
Okay.
Not whole, totally different. It was TV, but still, I didn't need a microphone.
Gotcha.
So all I had to do is I had to buy a audio recorder, a little mixer, to get me started. That was it.
You know, we kind of threw our hat in the ring too as well. We didn't know squat. I remember Peter and I were sitting in the basement and we got our voices to record and play back. And we were like, oh my God, the voices are actually playing back. We didn't know.
And we sound terrible.
We sound terrible. The first 50 shows are awful. But, you know, that's okay. They are bad. Everyone's first 25 shows are all rough. That's the secret to podcasting. If you can get past 25, like, okay, you learned something and like you could progress in advance. So, but yeah, that's the secret. But, you guys inspired us to try. I remember you guys saying there's plenty of room in the pool. Everyone jump on in. And what's the worst that happens? If we were terrible or we hated it, then you know what? There's no commitment. What's the money outlay? It's very little. It's time. It's effort, and it's seeing if you can connect with people. So we figured, what the heck? Let's try. So your lineage is like one of those NFL coaches where you look and you got offensive coordinators everywhere. You got lineage everywhere, my friend. Just so you know.
Oh, that's awesome. You're so kind.
All right. So you know what? We wanted to talk more to you about like your love of Disney, and we also have a small game to play today. So we're going to hit you up with some rapid-fire Disney questions if you're up for the challenge. You ready for this?
You have a buzzer? Somebody has to have a buzzer.
Oh, I don't have a buzzer. Michael, we need to get a buzzer. We need to put the interns on a buzzer. Can we do that?
We have interns.
We have interns. We'll have to get interns. I need interns. Anyways, here you go. All right?
Okay. I'm ready.
Your park of choice.
Magic Kingdom.
Oh, that was like without even a hesitation.
It's got to be the original. I'm the O. You said I was the OG guy. Don't get me wrong. Epcot's a close second for me.
Okay. You know, I often wonder when people actually have something besides Magic Kingdom. Because when you think of Walt Disney World, I mean, you're thinking of the Magic Kingdom. You have to be. You have to think of the attractions you went to I'm 45. So, I mean, yes, Magic Kingdom is where I think first, you know. So, of course. What's your attraction?
At the Magic Kingdom?
Mm-hmm.
It's not there. I always think of If You Had Wings for whatever reason, which is
what?
Gone for I don't know how long. I know. Not there.
Holy cow. No one's ever said that before. If you had the Delta Dreamliner?
Exactly.
Wow. Okay. What's the connection to that one, Tim?
It was just one of my family's favorite rides. Didn't take a ticket. My dad loved it. My dad didn't like the fly, but he loved that ride. You know, sponsored by Eastern Airlines.
Yeah.
Go figure.
Wow.
Man, you guys must be old. This is before my time. I don't know.
And I will say, the first time we went on at Rio de Tiempo, I'm looking at the effects in here. I'm like, this is fantastic. This reminds me of If You Had Wings.
Wow. That's an awesome choice. So, okay, so Rio del Tiempo. What about your attraction over at the studios? What is your ride there?
I got to be honest. You know, I've not had a chance to be there with everything going on since all the Star Wars stuff opened up.
Mm-hmm.
But you're asking me about the studios. Oh, Catastrophe Canyon?
Nice. Nice.
That was a great ride.
They still have it in Disneyland Paris, Tim. Catastrophe Canyon. They still have it. It's the truck comes down. It's still as much fun with the water and the flames and everything. All right.
Those flames are hot. Don't let anybody fool you. Those were real flames.
Right? Okay. How about Animal Kingdom? What's your attraction there?
I do love, I'll be honest, Expedition Everest, but I cannot ride it more than once.
Oh, it's the age getting to you like it does to me too, right?
I've never been a roller coaster person.
Gotcha.
Ever. That's a whole different story. Went to Cedar Point once. That was a bad, bad mistake. I went on a small coaster at Cedar Point.
Okay.
Does it look small next to the really big coaster? Oh, no. That small coaster was even big. Well, I said words on there I shouldn't have said.
Yep, of course. Of course.
But, no, I love Expedition Everest. But honestly, if I do go on it more than once, I get kind of a woozy for a while. So,
Was it always that way for you? Like if you go on a coaster like that, or like the teacups, let's say, or is it just happen as you've gotten older? Because that's what's done for me. I used to go on everything all day long. Now, not so much anymore.
Yeah, I admit it's probably age. Because I would go on the teacups, and I would get that thing spinning, you know, as much as I could. But yeah, if I were to ride the teacups, they didn't do it. It would probably be messy.
Okay, Nice, nice.
It looked like a multicolored sprinkler went off.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Take cover, folks. What's your snack of choice?
Ooh, Mickey bar.
A Mickey bar.
I do enjoy a Mickey bar.
Okay, where do you stand on the turkey leg?
I think I only had the turkey leg once. I remember it tasted like ham.
Okay.
And I felt like Fred Flintstone walking around the park carrying a turkey leg.
Gotcha. We've had a mixed audience of the turkey leg. I can't stand it. I can't even stand the look of it or the smell of it or the sight of it. But there are people that literally die for it. So we're kind of mixed.
I think it's one of those things. It looks, if you're into meat, it looks fantastic and it smells great. But after about two bites and the smell's on your hand, you're like, okay, I'm done.
I see people picking at it and like sharing it in line. And I'm like, oh God, just get me out of here. I can't do this. I can't do this anymore. Look,
like they dumped it in the... Pirates with piranhas in there, and they pull it back out, bone clean.
Right, exactly. All right, last one that I've got for you, then Michael might have a few for you. What's your resort of choice?
Oh, that's a tough one, mm-hmm. because it always depends on my mood at the time.
Okay.
Can't go wrong with the Contemporary or the Polynesian.
Okay, so you're going tomorrow. You're staying at one of those two resorts, is what you're saying?
Yes, because it's too cold to go to the beach club, I think, down there tomorrow and go swimming in Stormalong Bay. So I would say if Polynesian was open, I would lean Polynesian.
Gotcha.
Because I need to see some palm trees.
There is something magical about that. You know, Peter's a big fan. People love the Polynesian. It embeds itself in people's hearts. It never grabbed me, though I do love, like, just walking around the place. But, yeah, it's hard to go wrong there. So much Disney history. It's where isn't that where John Lennon officially signed the breakup papers with the Beatles?
It is.
Some weird Disney history right there. Michael, you got a question or two for Tim?
Nah, I won't put him through the ringer. Yeah. We've got this game that I already, you know, I'm going to hit him with. So.
Okay, you're going to spare him. Okay, let's get into this game. Let's try it because we want to make sure we...
challenge.
I'm sorry, Tim?
I feel like I should be up to the challenge. What's he going to bring?
Here we go.
All right. So here's what I thought. I thought we would do a Walt Disney World mashup. Okay. So what you have to do is take two things. It could be two attractions. It could be, and when I say attractions, it could be a ride, a show. It could be whatever you want. It could be a restaurant. It could be a merchandise location. I don't care what it is. You take two things at Walt Disney World, you mash them together, and you make one fantastic thing out of it, whether it be a new attraction or if it's just two things that really go well together. So my example that I've used before in a previous show, because I've been pitching this forever, Tim, I can't get anybody to play with me, so I appreciate you coming on.
I'm excited.
So my example was that I love the Tomorrowland Speedway, but I think it needs some change. So what I'm doing is taking Lightning McQueen's Racing Academy from Disney's Hollywood Studios, and I'm bringing it over to Magic Kingdom to be the queue opening show, basically, for the Tomorrowland Speedway. So we're going to have a building. It's air-conditioned. We're going to have that awesome Lightning McQueen animatronic. We're going to go through the whole spiel in there, air-conditioned, without the fumes hitting you. Mm-hmm. And then you're going to go out onto the track, and it will be actual electric cars. But the sounds that come out of it will be the cars sounds from the animated feature from the Pixar movie. So it'll sound like Lightning McQueen. It'll sound like Mater even. And then the cars will look like that as well. So the whole experience is kind of mashed together, and we've made a new experience.
Okay.
Michael, I love it. I think you already won. I love it.
Are we being judged on this, Michael? Are we sharing this out afterwards so people can judge us on our foolishness?
Is that they can definitely comment, but I think this is all in good spirited fun, right?
Good spirited fun. Tim and I don't play that way. We want decisions. We want to be declared victor. So,
oh, I'm very serious.
All right,
I'm hardcore.
How many, Michael, should we come up with, buddy?
You know what? I say at least we'll go three. How about that?
We'll go three. Okay,
three apiece.
All right.
Guests first. Is that good?
That works for me.
All right. You're up, Tim.
I'm up. All right. Now stay with me on this one. Big fan of It's a Small World. It moves a little slow sometimes. So I'm thinking if we mash that up with Buzz Lightyear Space Ranger spin, and we can shoot lasers at the dolls, have them do things or get a score. It's a win.
Nice.
I am loving that idea.
Nice.
My first idea was
the French little strange.
A little strange. People might say violent. I don't think so. Because my first idea was the Frontierland shooting gallery and the Kilimanjaro Safari. But I thought that would be too... That'd cross a line at some point.
That does cross the line. This is only marginally less past the line when we're shooting the kids of Small World. But we're going to look past that. We're just looking right past that. Okay.
Well...
Good one, though. That's genius. It'll make that ride a lot more exciting and a lot less mind-bending than it is right now, that's for sure.
I mean, it just shoots little lasers. It's not like it's bullets or anything.
Of course.
You know what they would do? They would have to have them, like, holding targets or something, and then you hit the targets.
There we go. Targets.
I love the idea, though. Make It's a Small World have a purpose, for sure.
Nice.
There you go.
Can I go, Michael? Is it my turn?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to put you on the Jungle Cruise, and we're going to modify that ride slightly. And what we're going to do is we're going to actually interweave animatronics and live animals. Several points during that ride, you're going to have the opportunity to take the Jungle Cruise boat under a place. It may be clear where an animal could, like, walk overhead or walk along the side. And as the ride exits, you're going to exit into the Maharaja Jungle Trek. So you're going to actually walk through and see the tigers that you could have saw on the Jungle Cruise. Because that the Maharaja Jungle Trek, that's not all that long of an exit queue. But I'm thinking it'll be a combination of both animatronics and animals.
I'm loving it.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Loving it. All right. We're going through these really fast.
Mm-hmm.
All right. My next one is, and I'm taking the Festival of the Lion King. I'm taking it clean out of Animal Kingdom. But we're taking it over to Animal Kingdom Lodge because I think that the resorts need a little love. I think they need a little entertainment. And when it comes down to it, how awesome would it be to be able to go down from your room at the Animal Kingdom Lodge and take in the Festival of the Lion King? So I know that Animal Kingdom already doesn't have much, you know, sometimes going on. We hate to take an attraction from there. But I think it would just be awesome to have that over there for the folks staying at Animal Kingdom Lodge.
That would be the most complete resort on property then. You would have enough entertainment to not want to leave that property for a few days.
You have dining, right? Tons of dining. You have that entertainment and you're golden.
The sunlight safari, the evening safari, whatever that's called. I think it might be the moonlight safari, not the sunlight safari. But yeah, that's a great idea.
They could even do like a special dinner show, like they used to do. You know, the kind of like the luau type thing.
Exactly. Oh, there you go.
Exactly.
That way, they could leave them in the park, then just have like one show an evening or two shows an evening at the Animal Kingdom Lodge. Michael, you're onto something great.
See that?
Got it. They're listening. You know they're listening.
You know they are.
No one's listening.
No one's listening.
All right, Tim, you're up.
Oh, is it back to me? Okay. I'm mashing up. Now, you're going to have to stay with me on this one. Again, this is a little out there, but I like this idea. We're going to mash up Test Track with World of Motion. Anybody remember World of Motion in the same pavilion where Test Track is now?
Of course. Of course.
But the ride vehicle would change heights. You'd be riding in the vehicle through time. Like, you start off, you'd be in the Model T, so the vehicle would be kind of up in the air a little bit, and you would steer with, like, a center stick. Then when you get to, like, to the other cars, the car lowers a little bit until you get to, like, the concept car, and then you shoot outside. The high-speed thrill, but when you look in the projections on either side, you're going to see yourself in the actual car that you're being simulated in.
He's used the time stone to go back in time and blend this thing here on us. Can he do that, Michael?
I think all rules were out. I remember saying that at some point.
He said any two attractions, and I'm like, be great.
Okay, you know, I like the idea of using Test Track because I'm going to use Test Track as well.
I love it.
But here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to try to appeal to every eater that comes off a test track with some American fare. And I'm not putting in a restaurant. I'm bringing the Disney Springs food trucks. And I'm going to paint them really cool. They could be painted as like Chevy Nomad station wagons or VW buses or something really cool with chrome and the exhausts and whatnot. And we're going to serve American fare with the Disney Springs food trucks right outside of Test Track. You get it? Like the Chevy trucks and everything?
Oh, yeah.
We're featuring barbecue chicken, the smell of barbecue chicken and burgers, and Test Track sponsored by Chevrolet. So we have our homemade signature apple pie right in those food trucks.
Boom.
Right?
Most Instagrammable restaurant at Disney, that would be.
Right? They should offer me a job at this point, I'm thinking.
Heck yeah.
And that one's possible. I mean, me trying to move Lightning McQueen's Racing Academy all the way from park to park, that's a little unrealistic, but you could take a food truck.
They do have a grilled cheese, like portable. Have you guys had that? They have a grilled cheese right outside of Test Track. And so that's what they're trying to go and market. But I just figured, yeah, sometimes guys want something a little different. Sometimes I've seen some girls eat pretty healthy too. So, yeah, we're going to go with barbecue.
Love barbecue.
Yeah, that sounds fantastic to me. It would give me something to do since I'm obviously not riding Test Track either.
There you go.
So. All right. Am I up now?
Yep.
Okay. This one... I know we're all saying this. It's a stretch. You got to go with me.
All right.
But if I ever have my way, there will be some sort of a transportation device that goes around Epcot. And what I'm doing is I'm taking the People Mover and I'm taking that puppy and mashing it up with the entire park of Epcot. And you can go and it has different stops. And I pitched this to Chris before when we had our huge Epcot park, our super park as it was. I want the People Mover at Epcot. And so you have different stops. You could go around the world. You could stumble on after you're drinking around the world to get to the next wherever. And I just think it would be a fantastic way to just kind of shoot around the park.
I love it. It could shoot around like the outside rim of World Showcase, like behind the countries?
Yes, behind it. So it doesn't ruin the, you know, and then each station could be themed to the country that you're getting off at.
Yes.
So
you've now created the largest drinking and not driving environment in the world right there. I just want you to know that. Everyone is just moving around on People Movers and consuming. It's genius. It's genius.
And you know, nothing ever goes wrong with the People Mover.
It's genius.
Never stops and rolls backwards or rams into other cars.
Exactly.
So we're perfectly fine.
Exactly. I love it. All right, Tim, you got one more. I actually have a fourth. I've got to pitch four. But Tim, you're up, buddy.
All right, I have a quick four that I didn't really think about too much, but I like where I was going with that. But I'm going to go with my original number three.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to mash up either the launch boats or the cruiser boats on the Bay Lake and the Seven Seas Lagoon.
Okay.
With a 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea submarine. It'll be big. It'll be kind of like a semi-submersible. You'll go down in there, and on the sides are screens, kind of like the Hogwarts train. You'll go out in the evening. There'll be some kind of like water show. Show when you're on the sub, like you're something terribly wrong. You see creatures underwater because let's play it face. You put real portholes and you're not going to see anything in that lake. That's why you have to have the screens.
Exactly.
You see the big octopus or whatever.
Exactly.
When the drama's all over, you surface, which you never really went down anyway, and you'll be there for like the fireworks and light show and the electrical water pageant.
I'm liking this. Is this an attraction or is this like a free thing, Tim?
It wouldn't be free, I don't think. Let's get real.
Come on.
This is good. You recreated 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, but in open water.
Open water.
Nice.
At the end of it, you get up, you see the electrical water pageant and what you can see of the fireworks and the projection show. Maybe there's some wine served as you're watching that, and they take you back to your hotel.
Nice. Where's it stationed at?
I picture it just doing like a little sweep, like around the Resort Loop hotels.
Gotcha.
Picking up whoever's going to be on there, and then when it's done, takes everybody back. If you want to get off at somewhere else and take the monorail around, you can do that. But
I see what you did there, Tim.
Yeah,
the resort loop.
Yeah, we caught that. We caught that.
Not that it's subliminal resort loop.
Bing bong. Yeah, we caught that. Exactly. Exactly. Okay, I like that idea, and I would think it's possible because, I mean, frankly, they have the blueprint already. You know, they have it. They've created those screens with other attractions. Yes. So I like it.
Thank you.
All right. How about if we take, I know they already have a restaurant here, but it's not quite right. Why are they not taking the dinosaur attraction and bringing over the T-Rex restaurant right next to the dinosaur attraction?
Exactly.
Right?
I thought the same thing, Chris.
It should be a slam dunk. Restaurantosaurus is not good, you know? So it should be an easy combination. And if you look in that corner of the park, Restaurantosaurus, like that's it. There's nothing else. That's an easy, easy choice right there.
You ever gone into that Restaurantosaurus? Like you could get lost. Mm-hmm. Like it's like corridors and
it's a maze.
It really is a maze. And you, at one time I was walking through there trying to get back to my family and I ended up outside somehow. And I don't know what
with a new family.
He was in the parking lot.
Exactly. Exactly.
All right. And you know what? If everybody has a fourth, we're zooming through these. We can do the fourth one.
Okay.
So, because I have a fourth as well. So we're good to go. But my third, I think I'm on three now, if we're not including my example of Lightning McQueen. I'm going to kind of go the same gist as the Lightning McQueen Racing Academy as the queue, but I'm taking Country Bear Jamboree, and it's going to become the queue for Big Thunder Mountain. I'm all about getting people a chance that are waiting in long lines, a chance to have entertainment along the way. So instead of taking your time going to Country Bear Jamboree and then taking the time going and waiting in the queue for Big Thunder Mountain, you get them both out at the same time. And yeah, I know there's going to be some storyline issues, blah, blah, blah. But they're both in Adventureland. I'm going to put them together so that we can optimize our time in the parks. No one's going to vote for this one. It's fine, but I would put the two together.
Well, let's explore this. Hang on. Do you divide up the attraction then, Michael? Could you put like a few bears, Big Al over here on this side and like a teddy bear over here? Can you divide them up so they take space in different parts of the queue?
That's what I'm thinking.
I love
thinking
it.
That you have different kind of stops or whatever, and they come out, they do their thing, and you know, it entertains you as you're going through.
I like the idea, though. It breaks my heart you're breaking apart the bears, but I like the idea.
I was going to say, initially, my first thought is heresy, and I would hit the buzzer if I had it loaded.
I agree. But, I love the – Tim, you're a Bears fan. You stand with the Bears?
It's an original. Who doesn't love Big Al?
Right? Teddy Bear? Yeah, for sure.
And I didn't know this until I heard this from a Len Testa. Who knew that those were real songs?
I did not know that.
They're real songs that they're singing in there. It's not like these were made up for Disney. Maybe a couple of them were. But they're actual real songs.
Everyone will put their palm to their forehead when I say this, but there are attractions that we would just walk by, and there are ones we won't miss. The Country Bear for my family, we won't miss. It's a must-do when we go to Magic Kingdom. No one has the Country Bears a must-do, but for my family, we have the Country Bears. So, I love it.
There's nothing wrong with that. And what I'm trying to do, if you look at it in the right light, what I'm trying to do is give more people the opportunity to see the bears.
I like it. We'll get more exposure. Maybe some additional bears can appear, too. Some new song.
Exactly.
Right?
Well, I said heresy. I kind of see where you're going, and that might not be that bad of an idea.
See that?
It could open up some space for something else. I don't know.
All right, our bonus round.
Bonus.
You're up, my friend.
All right. You were talking to me, friend?
Yes.
Just want to make sure.
You're both my friend. You're my friend, too.
I understand. I didn't think this all well out. I did not think this as well thought out, because I knew this was my fourth. But I think we need to, like, take the Swiss Family Robinson Treehouse. I love the idea, but it takes up an awful lot of land there in Adventureland. Why don't we take that over to, what was it called now, Discovery Island?
Okay.
In the middle of the lake, and make some kind of big thing over there. It used to be kind of like a secluded getaway nature thing before.
Hmm.
And I know they kind of stopped that with the whole Animal Kingdom thing, but let's put something back over there.
Discovery Island, where the Tree of Life currently exists, Tim?
No. No, by Fort Wilderness.
Yeah. Oh, I got you. I'm sorry. Okay. I went to Discovery Island where there were in Animal Kingdom. I apologize. Okay.
I forgot they called it that. No, back in the day, it was Treasure Island.
Gotcha. Okay, so you're actually making like the biggest treehouse that ever existed in Tom Sawyer Island? Is that what you're doing?
No.
No, Discovery Island. Outside in the lagoon. Like Fort Wilderness.
Okay. I'm like, you got me lost, boys. You got me lost here. Gotcha.
I've got all those other islands.
You mean the illegal campsite?
Yes.
The illegal campsite. That's what you should have said. You have to swim to it. You have to swim to it.
How am I going to get my motorhome over there? That's the thing.
Right. Okay. I like this.
Like I said, that wasn't a well thought out idea. I just thought maybe we could do something over there and move the treehouse over to the island.
I will say, though, when you come from Wilderness Lodge or you come from Fort Wilderness and you see that property just sitting there kind of vacant, you can actually see part of the shipwreck still. You think to yourself, boy, they can't do anything better with that property than just sitting there vacant. It looks like such a choice piece of real estate that something should be developed on there.
And I think Tim's on to something, because if you put that treehouse in the middle, okay, and then put treehouse villas around it, like they have at Saratoga, right? Put those around it within the woods, you've got something.
Mm. Michael's a brilliant man, I found out tonight.
You might have malaria, that's what you have, Michael. I'm just saying, if you put it around the lake, but
the skeeters are big down there.
Right.
They can carry children away.
All right. I'm going to give you my bonus idea, and it's not even one that appeals to me, but I know it's going to be a hit. So we're going to go.
It's not a car dealership.
Tim might not even know about that, but Tim, don't worry. I'll talk to you about my car dealership idea. But anyways, we're going to go to the Land Pavilion. Okay. And when I think of the Land Pavilion, I think of living with the land, and I think of it as a nice, like, way to eat healthy and be healthy. And then I go to Sunshine Seasons, and I think of the same thing. I mean, look at the menu. They've got the power salad. They've got the whole wheat pita, right? Mm-hmm. They've got the power salad with chicken, the oak grilled salmon. All healthy lifestyles. You know what they're missing?
Cheese.
They are missing cheese. They are missing food. Cheese. Cheese and ranch, dang it. But you know what else they're missing in that pavilion?
What's that?
A run Disney store.
Oh, wow.
Ba-boom! A run Disney store. Sell the merchandise year-round. Everything promotes a healthy lifestyle. Let's put it inside the pavilion in a year-round place. Huh? Man,
just drop the mic. Yep.
What do you think, right? It fits.
I'm love speechless at this point.
I got nothing.
All right. Michael, you got one more.
I can't follow that.
Come on. You got the flip-flop and cheese store somewhere. Come on. You got something to help out, right?
Dang. And all I'm doing is trying to take the Mark Twain over to the American Adventure. That's it. You're going around in a circle, right? On the big steam. That's what the steamboat's called, right?
That's pretty good.
Oh, the steamboat. Isn't that the Liberty Bell?
Or is it the Liberty Bell? I don't know. Is it the Mark Twain in
No, but I got the point.
Disneyland?
The steamship over at Epcot's Lake. I like that. The lagoon.
Take that around, and then you enter in to the American Adventure. So it kind of gives you a little bit of the American Adventure. That's it. Not great, but if you combine my example of Lightning McQueen with that one, it gives me a strong fourth.
That is a strong fourth. That's really good. Nice. We have to post these and let people just talk about them. So, Tim, one of the coolest things that we've had in the show, it is the friends that we make, but we decided we were going to form this listener group. So we have this listener group called EDCOT, E-D-C-O-T. And so intentionally, it's private. People have to like request to join. It's not a public group. We try to keep Disney out of the title. And some of the craziest conversations happen there. And that's honestly is like the coolest part of the show, is seeing the friendships that have formed and like feedback on shows and stuff like the Looper Nation Live. You know, it's just the coolest part of the show for sure. We're going to post it there, and then I'll share it with you, or we can get you to join, and then share it and see if people like the idea over in Resort Loop 2, some of the loopers over there as well, if you would, please.
Absolutely.
So we're not going to sell you any products or anything.
By the way, we've got Girl Scout cookies. No, I'm just kidding.
We need your email.
Yeah, exactly. Before we leave,
certificate.
I need two pieces of advice or two pieces of feedback from you, if you would, please.
Oh.
Share with us the coolest thing that's happened to you as a podcaster and the most challenging thing that's happened to you as a podcaster.
Ooh, the coolest thing. Oh.
Because you've had some cool experiences. I remember seeing you and Bob driving on the expressway down the Walt Disney World podcasting to the masses.
I will say that is true. We did a podcast at like 70 miles an hour.
I remember.
Live streaming, and we took a call.
I remember.
And there was a call from Germany.
You guys holding microphones thinking someone's going to die here today, boys. But okay, let's try it. Let's see how this works. Okay.
And since Facebook flipped the video, it looked like I was driving. But my hands weren't on the wheel. They were only on the mic because I didn't even have a steering wheel. Yep. Bob was on the other side.
Yeah.
That was fantastic. We're like, can you just believe we podcasted while driving through the mountains in Virginia?
Craziness.
I think it was Virginia. And I will say, the phone connectivity for all that stuff was better in Virginia than it was on I-4 between Daytona and Orlando.
No doubt, right? Florida's the pit of despair when it comes to cellular connection. I'm not sure why that is.
Oh, and Bob, don't get me started.
We're like, how can this big flat state not have cell service?
Exactly.
And we're driving to the mountains in Virginia and with a rock solid signal.
Like the fourth most populous state in the country. How does they not? What? It's called cellular service, people. But anyways, I agree. But let's assume that's out. What else would be the coolest experience? Yeah, the coolest experience you've had as a podcaster.
Oh, I will say I got into a couple of private lounges.
Nice.
Thank you to listeners, which was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Meeting our friends over at Joffrey's has always been fantastic. They're so nice there.
I was going to ask you. I've seen Bob go in there and get the tour and whatnot. Yeah exactly.
Yeah. So that's fantastic.
Okay. Give us the most challenging experience you've had.
The most challenging is every December when we do the holiday-thon. It seemed like a good idea the first year, and then we just kept doing it.
So if you've not listened, describe what that is, because I've listened for like 14 straight days. Describe what that is to people.
The Holidaython started when we started our show. A lot of shows, like for the month of December, like they would shut down. They say, "We'll see you in January. We're not going to podcast, you know, until then. You know, mm-hmm. We're going to spend time, you know, enjoy the holidays." And I was like, "Let's counter-program this. Let's put out a show every day."
Yep.
So usually it's at least, was it Christmas Eve through New Year's Day?
Mm-hmm.
Some years we were 10 shows, some years it was 12 shows, depending on how the holidays fell and how organized I could make things. And so, just haven't getting that many shows in the can before the Christmas season. It can be a little challenging. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's not too stressful, having to record 14 shows at the busiest time of the year, right?
The busiest time of the year, having, you know, edited, ready to go.
Right? No one knows how hard it is to actually get this stuff ready, and you're doing 14. Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah. The stress on the Scott and Collar house at that time of the year.
And every year I'm like, I'll start this earlier, like September, October. No, it's like the end of November. I'm like, I better get started on this.
Exactly. Well, should you get to the bottom of the barrel and you've got no one to help out, we are volunteering. We would love to be able to go and be part of that. So, like I said, if you get to the bottom of the barrel and no one else said yes, we're here for you. Okay, so don't be afraid.
Well, I don't consider you the bottom of the barrel, but you're definitely on the list.
Don't be afraid to extend that.
Absolutely.
All right. So, before we leave, Tim, how could people find you and the show and your group and everything?
Easiest way to find everything, just go over to resortloop.com. I'm on Facebook, Twitter, and all that stuff, and we have our Facebook group, Resort Loop Live, where we talk the same thing you do, kind of talk about the shows, and again, probably like you do, we kind of hand curate that. We only bring in people that are Disney fans. If people put in a request, we just make sure they're actually real people and Disney people, which isn't hard to do, because, you know, if you're a Disney fan, like one of your first pictures on there is like Disney. If I see you in front of the Spaceship Earth, you're golden.
Yeah. No mutual friends, huh? Okay.
No mutual friend, and you look like a supermodel.
That's you're in. You're in. I gotcha.
So
I can't recommend them highly enough. So in the world of podcasts, in the world of snarky podcasts, of mean podcasts, of people that want to go and argue and grandstand, you get none of that. You get just a good show to listen to, a lot of humor and a lot of information. So I couldn't recommend them highly enough.
Oh, you're so kind. Thank you so much, Chris. Chris, I appreciate it.
Not a problem, buddy.
I was going to say, I almost podcasted angry when I found out about Magical Express, but I toned that down.
Hey, you know what? I actually listened to that one today, actually. Oh, okay. That episode, I had it queued up, and I was listening today, and I loved your term that you use. If you could use that term again, when it is COVID, what is it that you said? Convenient?
A COVID-tunity.
Yes, COVID-tunity, because I'm going to start using that, because I think a lot of people are using that. Yeah. It's not just Disney, but...
It's true.
Disney definitely is using it to their advantage. And I'm not saying that, like you have said, I'm not saying these things weren't going to happen eventually anyway, but man, they're definitely seizing the opportunity right now.
Right. Exactly.
All right. So if you've stayed with us this long, thank you. Please consider going to your podcast provider of choice. Leave us a review. It does help move us up. Go find the Resort Loop podcast too. Give them 5 stars. Trust your buddy Chris. They're a 5-star podcast, guaranteed, and that will help them as well, too. So for my buddy Michael and my buddy Tim, thank you. Have a great day, everybody.
Catch you on the flippity-flop.
Do I say bye again?
Come on, Tim. Come on.
Say bye. See you, everybody.
There we go.